As Unitarian Universalists, we work together with our community and for the greater good of the greater global community to right injustices and bring freedom to those who do not have it. But we can never truly be free ourselves in our community or as the greater whole if we don't actually believe already that we are free. It's really easy to allow ourselves to become and stay trapped in negative thought patterns based on societal or cultural conditioning. But staying trapped or breaking free, one or the other, is as equal of a choice. They both have the same weight. They both require the same amount of effort. Even though sometimes one might seem more convenient or easier, they are both equal choices. We must push past our own limiting beliefs to achieve personal freedom. So when we think about the chains that bind, these might be things like an unhealthy relationship, bad marriage, a bad job that we feel chained to because we got to pay the bills, a disease, debt, race, class, creed, sex. These are all examples of chains that bind us, keeping us free from living free, happy, empowered, and fulfilling lives. Some of these things are a direct result of a choice we make, like a relationship or job, debt, and even some diseases are a direct result of lifestyle choices we make. Others we're born into and we grow up with, like race, class, creed, and sex, but some of these do change and become choices as we get older. We can choose to take actions to move us into a different class or change our religious beliefs. This happens. And the things that we're born with, whether we're born black, white, male, female, LGBT, straight, Christian, pagan, atheist, chances are society has a chain for you. Likely more than one. And it's evident by how you treated others from a young age. Whether you're a black athlete in school instead of simply an athlete, or good at something for a girl, or really smart for a poor person, these are all societal chains. And these chains can be really tough. They can be tough to bear and tough to break. But what's important to understand about these chains is that we control how many, how big, and how tight they are on our minds, our hearts, and in our lives. We control whether they weigh us down and keep us from living the lives we want and deserve or not. A diagnosis or condition might seem like a chain, and we sometimes feel that we're at the mercy of doctors or medications or treatments. If it's a condition that's something we or society perceives as flawed, adopting that condition as one's identity can turn into a very large and tight chain, and that's something that I personally went through. I had acne for a really long time, ever since I was a kid, all the way up into adulthood, and that identity as someone with acne affected a lot of the choices that I made, affected the way that I saw myself and presented myself towards others. And I see that a lot in my practice. And part of what made it so significant of a chain for me is that I took ownership of it. I called it my acne all the time. And I hear that a lot from people. My acne, my diabetes, my rosacea, my arthritis. The more we do that, the more hold these conditions have on decisions we make, how we present ourselves to the world, and what types of relationships we have with others. It becomes how we identify ourselves as clearly as an identifier like male or female. For example, for me, I believed I had acne, and I identified as someone with acne as strongly as I identified as being a woman or being a mother. And my own subconscious, and therefore the greater universal consciousness, had no choice but to believe me until I was able to change that thought pattern. And we think a lot about the law of attraction, how what we put out is what we get back. The universe always believes you, whatever you tell it. And if you tell the universe constantly, I'm sick, or I don't have this, think about it if you were trying to give someone a gift and they said back to you, I can't have that. Are you going to keep trying to give them the gift? Or are you going to finally say, oh, okay, all right, I'll keep the gift. You can't have it, I'll keep it. The universe is not going to try to convince you, yes, you can, if you are constantly saying, no, I can't, or no, I don't deserve. So it's really important to change that thought pattern. One of the ways we can do that is obviously releasing ownership of it by changing that thought pattern, but also by recognizing the positive things in our lives and the privileges that we do have. We spoke earlier of white privilege. It's something that's very real. It's a very real discussion that makes some people uncomfortable. And we have to sit with that. We have to all work through that with what it means for us. And what I've come to realize is that chances are, if you don't have one privilege that maybe someone who has more than you seems to have, focusing on the other privileges that you do have can help shift that mindset so that you can begin to attract more of what it is that you want. I found this article by Gina Crosley Corcoran, and it was about white privilege, and I read it. And it was really fascinating. She laid out some very obvious privileges that we might not focus on if we're thinking about only one specific one that we don't have. And I'm going to read from her article. Citizenship. Simply being born in this country affords you certain privileges non-citizens will never access. Class. Being born into a financially stable family can help guarantee your health, happiness, safety, education, intelligence, and future opportunities. Sexual orientation. By being born straight, every state in this country affords you privileges that non-straight folks have to fight for in the Supreme Court. And that's something that is beginning to change, but it's still a long road. Sex. By being born male, you can assume that you can walk through a parking garage without worrying that you'll be attacked by a man, and that a defense attorney will then blame it on what you were wearing. Ability. By being born able-bodied, you probably don't have to plan your life around handicap access, braille, or other special needs. Gender. By being born cisgendered, which I didn't know what that means, I had to look it up, it means being born in a physical gender, male or female, that your emotions and thoughts also agree is true for you. By being born biologically the same gender that your mind and heart are, you aren't worried that the restroom or locker room that you use will invoke public outrage. So chances are, if we're not born with one of these, we already have one or more of these other privileges that there's a lot to be grateful for. So another way we can break through our chains is to get rid of the can'ts. I think the word can't should be removed from the English language. Because the fact is that there are actually very few can'ts that are actually can'ts. Most of them are shouldn'ts, or don'ts, or not yet's. You might say, we can't walk on Mars. Not yet. Think about when they said, we can't fly. We got lots of planes now that say we can. Can't go on the moon. Well, guess what? We did that. Human beings and technology and our brains, our individual minds and collective intelligence are so strong. We can envision, we can create. Sometimes time just has to catch up with what we're able to dream, but I think we've proven over the course of humanity that pretty amazing things are possible. So when we think of something that might seem like an impossibility, I think it's safe to say it just hasn't happened yet. We just haven't figured it out yet. To free yourself of negative attachment towards a financial situation is similar. And it starts, again, with the words you use, whether you choose to take ownership of it as my debt or use a can't. I can't afford this. We can't because we don't have the money. Even if you have debt and there are certain things that you want or need that you don't currently have the money to purchase outright, using lack mentality like the can'ts in your mind or spoken aloud certainly won't help you move past lack into abundance. It's much more empowering to say, I choose to spend my money on something else right now. Back to health conditions. You might have a health condition where you've been told you can't eat certain things. Actually, you can. You have the physical ability to put the food on the fork, put it in your mouth, chew, and swallow. To follow doctor's orders is a choice, usually a smart choice, but still a choice. In these cases, it's much more empowering to say, I don't eat that, or I choose to not eat that. Freeing ourselves of that attachment clears space emotionally and spiritually for healing to begin, regardless of what treatment or course of action you choose. So again, as you use, we fight for freedom and work to right injustices in our community and in the world. Can you imagine how much more effective we'd be in our work if our work came from a place of true personal freedom? We can only give what we already have. We can only teach what we already know. And we can only inspire what we already feel. From the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And so we must straighten our backs and work for our freedom. A man can't ride you unless your back is bent. And I'd like to close with words from Robert A. Heinlein, who is a sci-fi writer. And I find that a lot of sci-fi writers and creators, they have a lot of really cool things to say. And Heinlein says, I am free because I know that I alone am morally responsible for everything I do. I am free no matter what rules surround me. If I find them tolerable, I tolerate them. If I find them too obnoxious, I break them. I am free because I know that I alone am morally responsible for everything I do. Blessed be.